Join me in Ruth chapter 3, as I will bring to you the first 14 verses this morning. One day, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not try to find a home for you where you will be provided for? Is not Boaz, with whose servant girls you have been, a kinsman of ours? Tonight, he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash and perfume yourself and put on your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man, and he turned and discovered a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant, Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am near of kin, there is a kinsman redeemer nearer than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to redeem, good, let him redeem. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized, and he said, "Don't let it be known that a woman came to the threshing floor." We will end our reading for today there. Very interesting passage, to say the least. And before I get into the details of the passage, I would like to define and discuss two words with you, and then direct your attention to the passage in the context or in light of these two words that I have for you. The first word is integrity. Integrity. Integrity means to have quality of being complete, to be unbroken. One with integrity is said to have moral soundness, honesty, freedom from corrupting influences or motives, upright in nature. Integrity is a firm adherence to a code of morals, values, and behavior. Integrity is seen in the uprightness of character, as I said, trustworthy in action, and has a responsible commitment. Integrity is a standard of incorruptibility, a refusal to be false. What is the Christian character of integrity, or if we put integrity into a Christian ethic? Well, integrity in a Christian ethic exhibits an obedience and practice of a moral code of ethics and value that we gain from God's holy word. Meaning we gain our moral fiber and we gain that level of integrity as dictated, as determined by God's word given to us. In practice, integrity will produce honor, truth, and reliability. It will allow one to keep his or her word and do their best when no one is watching. Integrity is essential for the deeper relationship with others and, of course, with our Lord Jesus Christ. Please let me repeat that. Integrity is essential for a deeper relationship with others and, of course, with our Lord Jesus Christ. Integrity. The second word I'd like to give you is the word love. more a phrase, I guess, true love. True love. What is love? What is love? Well, I'll give it to you from a biblical definition, a passage we are very familiar with. I used it on Mother's Day just not too long ago. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love is not proud. Love is not rude. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil. Love rejoices with truth. Love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. Love never fails. A slight paraphrase, if you don't mind. This passage in 1 Corinthians, as I said, is very familiar to us. And it describes the truest characteristics of true love. These qualities are certainly found in the person of Jesus Christ. And I hope and I pray they are found in our truly loving relationships that we have with each other. However, many times we don't look for these characteristics as we look for or found or find ourselves in love. Rather, we look for physical appearances, popularity, wealth, status, or even a very selfish position. What can you do for me if I say I love you? These are not the qualities God looks at. The Lord said to Samuel in 1 Samuel 16, the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Love is seen as a devotion and an action driven by a state of heart. It's not an emotion. Love is not based on how we feel. True love is not based on how we feel. Certainly our emotions are involved. Love can be a very emotional thing, both positive and negative. But emotions should not be our criteria for love. True love comes from the heart, regardless of emotions. True love, true devotion leads to actions toward others. The Apostle John said to his church when he was an old, old man, he said, "Dear children, let us not love with words, but with actions and in truth." Please note that true love, as we get it from the Apostle John, I think also from Paul in Corinthians, true love is connected to truth. True love is connected to truth. And if I could go back to my definition in speaking of integrity, that truth is also connected to integrity. So true love, truth, binds together integrity. Now to our passage. True love and integrity come together in this story of Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz. We see the integrity of true love in action. First, we see it in Naomi. Look at Naomi's position here. One day, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her daughter, "My daughter, should I not try to find a home for you?" Here, Naomi has removed herself from her bitterness. She has removed herself from her position of mourning. She no longer calls herself Mara. She is now, as we saw at the end of chapter 2, praising God for his blessings, and she is beginning to remember her maternal position. In these days, the parents typically arranged the marriage. More than typically, they did arrange the marriage for the children. So here, Naomi is remembering Mother Ruth. "Should I not try to find a husband for you to provide for you? We don't know this for sure, but Naomi may be realizing that she won't be here forever. And Ruth, a foreigner in this land without a provider, as much as Naomi is even able to do, would not be good for Ruth. So, Naomi, instead of caring for her own well-being, was fulfilling her maternal requirements by trying to find Ruth a husband. Secondly, in Ruth's actions, we see the integrity to custom and love for Naomi, all coming together here. Ruth did exactly as Naomi requested. Ruth loved Naomi and sought to fulfill the role Naomi was calling on her to fulfill, and knowing that she needed a husband, she needed someone to provide for her. And so in integrity of action, she followed through in what Naomi gave her to do. And as we will see here just in a few moments, this was incredibly risky for Ruth. Also, as Boaz pointed out in commenting on Ruth's action, Ruth did not go after the younger men. She did not go after what might be physically more appealing to her. Boaz is an older man. We don't know how much older, but he's a man of good standing and has lots of property. So we are just putting two and two together, and he's an older man. And so Ruth, following Naomi's lead, seeing that Boaz is one of those kinsmen redeemer, is following the customs with integrity and saying to Boaz, "I will come and be with you." She did not seek after what might be wealthier or younger men. She did not go after the physical appearance. She followed the custom. Also, of vital importance here, young ladies, listen carefully. She went after a man of God. It was visible that this was a man of God. And she went after, followed Naomi's instruction, and went to him. And then ultimately, we see love and integrity in Boaz's response to Ruth's actions. Now, let's speak of and talk about Ruth's actions here. Naomi instructed Ruth to go to Boaz while he is on the threshing floor after he has eaten and is in good spirits. Please don't infer that he was drinking. That is not to be inferred here. But it is a wonderful time of celebration. The crop is in. He has a bountiful crop. He has eaten and then rejoiced with the folks, and he's tired, and so he's a happy man. The crop was good. And he's gone to the other end of the threshing floor to lie down. Naomi instructed Ruth to go to Boaz when he's asleep, uncover his feet, and lie down. A very unusual act. And it is a very unusual act with heavy sexual overtones in her actions. This was a customary act, not done always, but it is an act that was done. And it was a customary act to make the desire of marriage known to the gentleman. Ruth was proposing. She was proposing to Boaz. So ladies, it's okay to propose to the guy. Godly guy. Right? Right. Got that. But here's the thing that brings into it the sexual connotations that we need to discuss. What exactly was Ruth uncovering? To be precise is difficult, but in other occasions in Hebrew language, this same word is sometimes used to refer to one's genitals. In one commentator's words, it was the act of uncovering, meaning lift the blanket and crawl under the blanket to lay exposed to the man's genitals so as there was no misunderstanding about what was being asked. So to uncover Boaz's feet could possibly mean to uncover his privates. Another thing, to lie down at his feet, to lie down in close proximity to a man in this condition, in this state, meant to make oneself open to the sexual advances of the gentleman. Lying down removed any inhibition that might restrain another from making any sexual advances in this case, in this context. So, when Ruth went into the threshing floor at night, remember, Naomi told her, basically, sneak in. When Ruth went into the threshing floor at night to lay at Boaz's feet and him uncovered was a tremendously risky thing for Ruth to do. Here is a man of good standing in the community, laying possibly with his privates uncovered, and a young foreign girl laying prostrate there on the floor. Integrity of character is about to be possibly challenged. She could have been misunderstood. Boaz, if this case was not handled, were not handled properly, could lose his position, his standing in the community. So there is a great deal of risk involved. But please note the actions of Boaz. Boaz did not take advantage of this young lady. He acted nobly and with integrity. Look at verse 10 with me. Speaking to Ruth, he said, "The Lord bless you, my daughter. This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character, although it is true that I am near of kin. There is a kinsman redeemer nearer than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to redeem good, let him redeem. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." Now, Boaz could have fulfilled his engaging responsibilities there. I'll let you read between the lines. But he knew he was not the nearest of kin to be the one that should redeem her. He knew of another family member that was closer in relation to her. So he, acting with nobility and with character, said, "I will do what you ask," meaning, "I accept your proposal, but we have to have this legality of the Redeemer satisfied first, because there's a man who is closer of kin to you than I. He has responsibility first." So he treated her with care, treated her respectfully, did not take advantage of her or his position there in the middle of the night with this young lady. He loved her and acted with integrity toward her. And he said, "Tomorrow morning," and we will see this later in the chapter, "but tomorrow morning I will take care of this redeeming legality. And if he does not redeem, then I will, and we will fulfill this." Boaz loved Ruth. He referred to her as daughter here twice. A very nurturing term. He reflected 1 Corinthians 13 in this episode with her. He was patient. He was kind. He did not take advantage, etc., etc. He did have a physical attraction to her, but here he acted justly and showed his love for her by being objective and not bending the rules, not taking advantage of the situation, not taking advantage of her, just for his own good. And here's one of the lessons I would like to bring out to us today. In our love of our family, in our love for our friends, for our relations, we must always act with integrity and with justice. Many times for family members or friends, we lose our integrity in our love for them. I've heard it said, I've seen it in action, I'm sure you have as well, is that we become very subjective with our love for our friends, more particularly with our family. Family member does something that is out of line. Rather than going to them and addressing them and helping to correct the situation, we say, well, you know, that's our cousin, or that's my son, that's family. I see nowhere in text where the rules of love and integrity change because it's family. Some of the greatest discussions I've had within my own family center around this very thing. I get calls, I'm asked for my opinion, my biblical perspective, my biblical position, and when I give it, I'm in the doghouse. Well, that's family. You're supposed to be different to them. Please show me. Please. We act so subjectively when it's our children, when it's our brothers or sisters. Folks, the rules don't change. The rules of integrity don't change. If anything, within the context of our family, the idea of love and the idea of holding integrity must be much stronger, because we should reflect that Christian ethic to those around us, especially with our family. Marley and Aaron would get madder at me because I treated them differently when we'd go on mission trips. Not because I was easier, but because I was tougher. Because I never wanted anyone to come to me and say, you treat your daughters different than you treat me. Never. And I usually always failed in treating them harder. Boaz here did not take advantage of this situation. He worked this relationship with integrity. He revealed his true love for Ruth and for the custom of his day and for this kinsman redeemer position with integrity. We, in our relationships, I pray, would hold our love with integrity. We have said every Sunday that we've been in the book of Ruth that these stories, the story of Naomi, Ruth, Boaz, etc., is the foreshadowing, is the revealing of God's love and care and redemption for his people. Naomi, as we've said, has been the story of the human condition, of struggle, of strife, of heartache. Ruth is the foreshadowing of love and commitment from God. And ultimately, Boaz is the foreshadowing of the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. This story, this portion of this story points to our Lord Jesus Christ. It is in Jesus Christ that we see the epitome of integrity found in true love. 1 John 4 states, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his only son, his one and only son, into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for sin. If anyone could have taken advantage of a situation, it would have been the Lord God Almighty. He could have forgiven us our sin and never brought Jesus Christ into the picture. But that would have violated his integrity. we ask, why did Jesus have to die? If God is really God, could he not have just forgiven our sin? Could he not have said, that's okay. Your family, your little young ones, you don't understand, you don't know, that's okay. Could he not have said that? Absolutely. But if he had done that, as I said, he would have denied his character. He would have denied his integrity. He would have acted in such a way as to bending the rules. But no, he could not do that. Because you see, God's character is so perfect in his love for himself. Required such an integrity that if he had acted any way outside that, he would have denied his character. He would have denied his justice. He would have denied the true love he has for himself. So someone had to pay for the injustice. Something had to be done to remedy that assault of our sin against his character. His character, he had to maintain his integrity. Someone had to pay. And so as John says, he sent his one and only Son into the world to die. And in Jesus Christ himself, we see integrity. And we see the fulfilling of love. But also in Jesus Christ, and this is the beauty of the God-man, in Jesus Christ we see also his humanity. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed. He prayed until he was dripping blood because of the anguish of sin that was being laid upon his shoulders. And what did he pray for? Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. His humanity was speaking out because it was hard. But yet, what did he ultimately pray? Father, your will be done. The true love of his Father and the integrity of his Father's name was at risk. And so he said, Father, I will go to that cross. I will uphold the justice required by the majesty of your name. The Lord Jesus Christ came and gave up himself freely. He came in love and with integrity of action to reveal the love of God to his people. Folks, you know as well as I, we have a very, very challenged view of love in our world today. Integrity in our world today. Some of you men who own your own business have come to me and said, how can I run my business without violating the rules, without cheating, without cutting corners, because everybody else does it and I'm trying to keep up. Our world is built now without integrity. But as Christians, we above all should love truly, and that love should be girded with integrity. Upholding that which God has given us, which God desires to see in our loving.